Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Jack Berger, and when I'm stalking Springbok in the Namibian wilderness, all I take with me is a knife and the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. It's all a real man needs.
What a man, and that has just got me right up for this podcast. Gentlemen, hands in, pod on three. One, two, three, pod! Pod! Well, here we go. Plenty to talk about this week in the world of rugby. A weekend of Pro 12, Aviva Premiership. And, of course, we're looking forward to the Six Nations, which is back. Two more weekends of rugby to go in that. Loads to talk about. The usual fellas here. We're all a little struggling a little bit today, I'll be honest, because there was a party for JB's missus last night. That we were all up at very, very late. JB, how are you feeling? You all right?
I'm a bit ropey.
You okay, Phil? Strong?
I'm okay. I've been better, Tim, but I'm okay. I'll get through this.
All right. Well, we'll dig in and get through this. Just before we get into the rugby, actually, I've got to say it was possibly one of the most middle-class parties I've ever been to. It was great. We were playing a drinking game, which involved what's the name of that book?
Le Ruse Gastronomie.
So we were using
How did Eddie Butler say that?
Le Ruse Gastronomique.
That's right.
So we were using that book for drinking games.
It's a culinary encyclopedia for those who don't know.
Yeah, but we're strong and we're ready to talk about stuff. Now, sometimes we get a bit of criticism for not talking about Irish, Scottish, Welsh rugby enough. We're going to start with the Pro 12. Have that. And
wow.
An outburst by the Connacht director of rugby, Pat Lamb, who following a last-minute controversial defeat against Cardiff Blues said this.
This ball comes back. You see here at 83-27, Cardiff clearly knocked the ball on there. They knock it on. There's no ruck. Our hooker picks the ball up. Tom, it's cleared. Referee's just about to blow full time. Game over at 83-34. And then Leighton Hodges, the touch judge, says hands in the ruck. A, clearly no ruck. B, he knocked the ball on. He's 30 metres away. The ref's 1 metre away to call that. And that is a massive call. That game should be over and finished. And all I want to talk about is the facts, not opinion. You know, that's pretty clear. I've had texts straight away from quite influential people saying it's wrong. And then probably the biggest thing with Leighton Hodges, I had to talk to him afterwards, because when we had the Edinburgh game, I went through the process there that he made a comment before the game that he was late and our stewards told him where he had to park. And he made a comment that that's going to cost your team 7 points at least. He made that to our stewards who came and complained. I complained to Ed Morrison.
Right, so if you didn't see the game, we'll get into that in a second, but essentially Pat Lamb had, and bear in mind, think about how long a post-match press conference or post-match chat with a journalist lasts after a game, a minute, maybe two. This was a 4.5 minute on one issue of one bad decision in the 83rd minute. After Cardiff scored a last-minute try, well, I say last-minute try, in the 88th minute, was it?
Yeah, 87th, yeah. 88th minute.
An incredible end to that game.
Yeah, and there was two penalties during that 10-minute period where, from the 78th minute to the 88th minute where Cardiff were attacking, there was two penalties given. Pat Lamb was contesting both of them, particularly the second one, but it resulted in Cardiff coming from 6 points behind to scoring a converted try to win the game.
Now, if you are listening to the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast on Acast, we are now available on Acast as well as in iTunes. I have just put a link to that interview with Pat Lamb so you can hear the full thing, the full chat. It's pretty amazing to hear from a director of rugby.
Have you just done that on the Acast app?
It's incredible technology on the Acast app.
I've got to admit, I've not actually used the Acast app yet. I'm going to. I'm going to now.
It's very good.
Is
very
it?
Good, Jay.
Wow. Yeah.
I can understand his frustration because his team deserved to win and his team have put in 78 minutes of work. Cardiff get the ball in the 78th minute. Keep... Jay!
Sorry.
Cardiff Blues have kept the ball for a full 10 minutes before scoring, which is an amazing effort from them.
Yeah, incredible.
Absolutely brilliant effort. But this one decision it hinged on, to call out the credibility and the integrity of an official, I've got a problem with that.
Not really. Oh, well, OK, let's just go back a step. I thought it was quite funny that I'm not entirely sure Pat Lam knows who his hooker is. So our hooker, Tom? Tom? Is it Tom? So probably an academy lad or something, who knows. The bit about Leighton Hodges, though, I think he's perfectly justified to bring this to everyone's attention.
Pat Lam is justified.
Absolutely, he is, yeah.
There's two things, isn't there? If Hodges has said that at the end of the game, he should never have said it. If he did say it, he should never have said it. But that doesn't necessarily mean it has had any material impact on this at all. The two could be completely.
And he knows exactly
unlinked.
What he's doing. It bringing it up now at that moment.
That's a very good point. There's another point as well, which he's an assistant ref. Now the idea for me is an assistant is to assist, and I think this isn't just a Leighton Hodges problem, but a problem across the board, which is referees, or should I say, assistant referees, are too eager to put themselves in the game. Because of that, he's just made a wrong call. He's made a wrong call because he thought that the ref missed something. The ref didn't miss anything, and he's relayed that to the ref from 30 yards away, and as such, it's cost Connacht the win.
I think
it's a big problem.
I think it could just be a bad call from the assistant ref getting involved when he doesn't need to. It could be as simple as that, but obviously Pat Lam doesn't see it like that. He's obviously pretty emotional because he's gone to Cardiff. They arguably should have won, and he's come away with just a losing bonus point.
I wonder what a talking to from Pat Lam's like. That's terrifying.
Well, he was quite considered, and he wanted to back up everything he said with examples and facts, and it wasn't just...
I think if he's done that, examples and facts, that's absolutely fine. If he just went out there and said, Leighton Hodges is a moron, and he's done X, Y, Z,
that can't
be allowed. But he's got his laptop out, and you know, if you look at the instances, I think he's probably right. I think they're not quite top four, but they're pushing for it.
Yeah. It's a big, big dent in their hopes. Yeah.
Definitely.
I also think another thing, going back to the officials and, you know, them wanting to get involved in the sidelines, I kind of miss the days where officials missed things. So if an official misses things, the game just plays on. Now it's the opposite. They're getting too involved and they're claiming that things aren't even there. If anything, it needs to go backwards, not, you know, it doesn't need to be this super precise science of refereeing a game.
I do know what you mean, because you could, but every single breakdown, you could stop the breakdown and give a penalty one way or the other if you did it absolutely to the letter of the law. But that's not, no one's going to enjoy that.
And by the way, Leicester's European Cup, where Neil Back,
hands
in. One of my favourite ever scenes. I mean, isn't it just wonderful to see him pop the ball in with his hand and everyone go mental? Well, that would never have happened. And it's kind of part of the folklore of rugby, and if you're not cheating, you're not trying, and all that sort of stuff. I miss it.
Well,
just one more point on the Leighton Hodges thing. I just think, well, I hope it's just a bad call. And to back this up, I was thinking, where do I know the name Leighton Hodges from?
Go on.
I think all three of us watched this game at the same time. It was Italy Fiji.
Oh no, was that
no
him?
Way.
In the 2013 Autumn Internationals, where there was a record six yellow cards given in the game, including, I think, four at one time for Fiji. Fiji were down to either 11 or 12 men. Yeah, this could just be a bad decision by the assistant ref.
Well, this really conflicts me now, because I really dislike yellow cards. I think if I go to watch a team and my favourite player gets carded, I've not gone there to watch him sit on the bench for 10 minutes. Having said that, if you're going to give out six of them, I do want to see that. So I don't really know where.
Well, it'd be interesting. It will be interesting to see what happened. But I thought it was. It's unusual for a director of rugby. Normally, you have the odd little petulant spat. Someone spits their dummy out, a la Cockerell or Diamond.
Yeah.
Or you get people like Malinder just going, and O'Connor O'Shea looking like they're fuming, not saying anything, and then taking it through the other channels. But he's had a very, very long, in-depth well, he sort of questioned the integrity of an official, so we'll see about that.
Well, I'm glad you said that as well, Tim, because I think this is a very clear-cut case now where the authorities have to come down hard on one side or the other. They can't fudge it and say, well, Leighton Hodges can't referee any more Connacht games. Because if you listen to the interview as well,
yeah,
they all say, well, are you worried that he's going to be interviewing... refereeing the... Is it Munster game coming
up? Munster game, yeah.
And that's a worry, isn't it? I mean, you can't have an official who isn't suitable to referee some matches.
Yeah. Right, we are going to get into the Premiership. We're going to look ahead to the Six Nations. We've got a few little things going on. I've got a quick game of rugby social going on. We know how much rugby players love Twitter and Instagram and keeping their followers up to speed with what they're doing and showing pictures of all the latest thing they've blagged on their Twitter account.
We should just follow or have a website... Twitter account...
At rugby, right? If someone's got the time and inclination, a Twitter account called like at rugby blaggers or something like that.
Hey, just follow just, David Flatman.
Just retweet it when rugby players blag stuff blatantly on Twitter.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not what I'm doing here. Here's rugby social. Phil against JB. Matt Dawson said on Twitter, "Shiraz is the bomb. Ribeye is tidy, or foie gras effing great." Which did Matt Dawson say? Jay, go to you
Shiraz,
first.
Shiraz, that's an Argentine winger, right?
Shiraz is the bomb. Ribeye, tidy.
French come off.
Foie gras, effing great.
Shiraz.
Phil?
I'm going to say ribeye. I reckon he's got, from a butcher, he's got a nice, tasty cut of steak.
Oh, hang on, he is into meat, isn't he? And he's a farmer.
He is into sausages.
Oh, you're changing.
You're going to copy me, Jay? Are you going to stick with your original?
I can't lose if I copy you, can I? I'm going to go for Shiraz. I don't know.
Stick with
you. Come on,
stick
with
you. Shiraz, sorry.
Shiraz.
It's correct. Oh. Yes!
Right.
Eat my dust.
Next. Comes from Jacques Berger. Saracens celebrated their win this weekend with what? A dirty McDonald's? Measuring the cubic volume of Jamie George's head, or a Kelly Brown power ballad set on the bus?
Ooh. Kelly Brown.
I have seen Saracens stop off for fish and chips in the past, so I'm going to say...
And Steve Diamond buys all of his squad McDonald's occasionally.
I'm going to say a McDonald's.
McDonald's is correct.
Yes.
So it comes down to this. This was an Instagram from a Bath rugby player who snuck into George Ford's car at training when George Ford left it open and then surprised George Ford by
go on.
Jumping out at him when George Ford was about to start the engine.
Oh, not by leaving like a kilo of cocaine in the back seats or something.
No, not that one. So you've got to work out which Bath rugby player it is from the noise of this, from the noise that they make. Okay, here we go. George Ford's getting in the car.
Yes!
Which Bath rugby player is that surprised George Ford?
Play it again.
Okay, hold on.
Ooh, high-pitched voice.
Goodness
Very
me.
High-pitched.
Bath rugby player. You just say one at a time until someone gets the right one.
Okay. Do you go first or second, Jay?
Who wants to go first?
I'm going to go with Devoto.
Devoto? Phil?
Matt Garvey.
Well, I think it's one of the backs. I think it's not going to be Banahan or Burgess because it'd be too hard to hide. Chris Cook.
Oh, I thought you might have it there. Eastmond.
Yeah,
easy to hide.
Well done. Yeah. Very easy to hide. Let's hear that again. Yes! Now we know how George Ford's going to look when Matthew Bastereau runs down his channel. Right, that was a game of rugby social. What was your pick of the week from the Premiership this week, Jay?
It has to be Wasps against Saracens for me. I thought it was an excellent game, but I also thought there was quite a lot of merit in the Bath versus Sale game.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's stick with Wasps Saracens for a second then. So some good attacking play.
Yeah, those two tries in quick succession by Wasps were beautiful, weren't they?
Yes, they really were. Like, I've been banging the drum for Christian Wade for quite some time, as is, by the way, most of the country around 2 years ago. I was just getting back into the setup. Did you see, so exciting.
Did you see in the second half when they were struggling, a lot of pressure, and he catches the ball in his own 22, gets scragged and tries a 30-yard pass to Andy Goode that went forward and then Goode knocked on. And
yeah, that's yeah.
a 5-metre scrum for
Goode
Saracens.
Goode knocked on a lot of ball today. A high ball twice maybe and that other one.
And Goode and Goode. And
Goode v. Goode.
Goode v. Goode, a Goode off.
Yeah. Or very good Goode versus not quite as good
against
Goode.
Alex Goode. Yeah. So that second Elliot Daly try, have I got that right?
The second try.
I always get confused between Jamie Elliott and
Elliot Daly.
Elliot Daly, right, okay, got him. Brilliant.
Rugby players with two first names would be, we could do a 15 for that sometime.
Great one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Okay.
I was watching this and the commentators were talking about how they're bringing back Brad Barrett into the England squad. Now, I'm not a big God guy, but he clearly loves England. Because if he didn't, why would he put Brad Barrett into that situation with the high ball, where he's now not going to play for England, and also put Elliot Daly on the same pitch so Stuart Lancaster can compare and contrast and bring in Elliot Daly? Because that's exactly what he should do.
Yeah, Will Greenwood put a very good tweet towards the end of the Wasps-Saracens game saying, get Elliot Daly on the bench, he covers 11 to 15, which is an area of weakness
I think that's an absolutely brilliant shout. Are we just being knee-jerk and going, oh, look, he's had a good game.
But he's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, he's been one of the form centres in the league all season.
I mean, he played against England a while ago. For the
Barbarians.
Yeah, and he looked magnificent.
Yeah.
And now he was very, very young, and obviously it's a non-cap game, all those other things.
He's an exciting player without any shadow
of
doubt.
Just think about how exciting England could be with players like Jonathan Joseph, Elliot Daly, Kyle Eastmond.
Now, I'm not necessarily saying that on merit, if all centres are available, he makes the squad. You know, if you've got Tuolagi and you've got Eastmond and Joseph and
whoever else, Burrell,
but that versatility that Will Greenwood picked up on that you mentioned, Phil, that's a massive feather in his cap.
Yeah, because as it happened, if last weekend one of the outside backs had got injured, you would have either had Cipriani to fullback or you would have had Jonathan Joseph to the wing, neither of which are great replacements, but Elliot Daly can legitimately cover
Jonathan
all
Joseph
all
on
those.
The wing isn't too bad, I guess.
No, that's fine, but...
Stuart Lancaster, it feels that as soon as he has options available, he goes for the most conservative one. That's kind of how it feels to me.
Well, but you've got someone who genuinely could play 15, 13 and wing. Yeah,
and it's not exactly a risky option because of the form he's in.
No.
He's an exciting player.
And also, let's just go back a step and talk about the Wade try. Just the lovely skill, that second touch, that second little kick.
The two rubber kicks, because he controlled it twice just before the line. And I didn't actually know that was the rules, that if your feet are in touch, but you only dot the ball down, it's a try.
I did not know that either.
I thought it was... when I watched it, I was like, that's not a try.
As long as you're in the dead ball area, that's fine. You're allowed to do that.
Because you've not carried it in.
Yeah, because you're not carrying the ball. You're just literally putting pressure on the ball. That's it.
That's a good rule. I like that.
Yeah, it was good. It was great
law,
finish.
Law.
Sorry, good law.
Yeah. Mm.
And the other try, the Wigglesworth kick through for Wales to score.
Good.
That was a great try.
It was.
I think Saracens did demonstrate their incredible power.
Yeah, and
because when the organisation and the cohesion to come back, and they played in. That's exactly right. But they played kind of a total game. Like there was a little bit of excitement. There was a little bit of forwards play. There was a little bit of everything. Really, they're very complete.
Wigglesworth, who got man of the match as well, his kicking was excellent. Really, really good.
There's always a little part of me, and it's really unfair, begrudges guys like Wigglesworth doing really well. And that sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, but he's so good at what he does. It's just what he does isn't that exciting to watch necessarily, but it's so effective.
It's amazing that Stuart Lancaster hasn't called him up. Oh, wait.
Yes. He's been on the bench. He's been on
the
bench.
That does make sense.
And Joe Schmidt, if he was picking the England team.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because that's exactly what he wants. He wants someone who can control the game like Wigglesworth.
That's exactly what he'd do. And, well, yeah, and when you think about how are you going to win World Cups, it's not going to be, sad as it is, I appreciate Elliot Daly for his versatility, might be a good shout as a bench option, but you're not going to win the World Cup with Elliot Daly. So you'll actually win the World Cup with game management like Wigglesworth.
Like Fekitoa and Nonu.
Fekitoa is everything, though. Fekitoa is not just... He's not just exciting. He's incredibly solid, in really good hands. Defensive. Yeah.
Let's talk about another. There's been some late tries in this weekend's rugby. Firstly, Newcastle will be gutted at losing to Leicester.
That looked like they were building a nice little lead there, and then all of a sudden they seem to have been closed down.
But then, how many times have Leicester done that this year? They weren't they like way adrift of Sale recently, and then came back in the second half.
Yeah. They were like three tries down against Sale.
Is that five in the bounce for Leicester now? So they've won a fair few.
Yeah.
And also the other late try that needs to get mentioned in terms of points and racking up the points, the game of the weekend, Gloucester Saints.
Oh, yeah. Young James Wilson showing off why he should be in the England under-20s.
Two tries,
Wilson.
If you haven't been following the podcast for a while, JB was under the impression for quite a long time that James Wilson was an academy product, not a 31-year-old New Zealander.
Journeyman.
Yeah. Kind of embarrassing.
But he's having an amazing season.
Well, it's like I say, and there's two players at the moment I'd put in this category. Sometimes it's more about opportunity than actual talent. Foden's gone down, he's come in, he's done wonderfully. And the other guy who is really starting to pull it together now is Freddie Burns. I mean, if you look at the opportunity afforded to Owen Williams, he did everything possible. He gets injured. Freddie Burns is now starting to play beautiful rugby.
Yeah,
he kicked Leicester out of trouble today. Mm. And he, last few games, he put Gloucester to the sword. He's playing really, really well.
On the subject of Gloucester, they should, hopefully, when they look at the game tape and they look ahead to the next game, they should feel pretty buoyed by their performance.
Yeah.
But they're going to be gutted that they didn't close out a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it 23-8 at one point or something like that?
Yeah.
The thing I don't really like about what's happening at Gloucester is I kind of feel it should have happened earlier. And yeah, I know the load of new signings, new director of rugby, but you're a professional team and you need to pull it together quick. They seem to be pulling it together with, like, how many games left?
They're not going to get one of the top six. They could potentially sneak the seventh, but
it's probably unlikely
anyway.
So what are they on in points?
They're 6 points behind Sale, but Sale have relatively easy running.
Yeah, but Sale are a weird team.
And Sale are 5 points adrift of Wasps. So if Sale get the points that they should do from their available games, they'll be too far away.
Sale are our team. Sale could lose against pretty much anyone away and beat anyone at home.
That's very true.
I can see Gloucester taking Sale, but not Wasps.
Yeah, but it was good. It was really nice to see some nice weather, some nice rugby being played, some good footwork, some good tries being scored, wasn't it? That Sharples try. It's nice to see good rugby, isn't it? Not this attritional warfare that Leicester have been...
Speak for yourself.
...grinding out in the mud.
The Bath-Sale game was a replay of my favourite game of last year, which was Bath Sale away, and they had 6 minutes scrummaging.
Yeah.
But it was like this titanic struggle of, giant humans. And reset after reset. It's just so gladiatorial.
You said at the very start you loved the Bath Sale game.
Well, I didn't love it, but I just thought it was quite interesting because I've got a real begrudging respect now for Steve Diamond. No one gets as much out of his players as Steve Diamond. I mean, they don't seem to hold on to their best players. And everyone that comes in are like retreads, like Magnus Lund or Jonathan Mills or...
Yeah, Arscott.
I'm going to say that I think... And it was his job to appoint this person, but I think Mike Forshaw. Over the last 2 years, he might have been one of the best signings in the Premiership because as their defence coach, they, like Bath, couldn't break it down.
No.
Just couldn't break it down. It's a bit like Ireland in that sense. They are so organised, regimented, and I think it goes to show, that rugby is one of those amazing games that the collective will always beat the individual.
And there's Burgess as well. Now, I don't have a pet.
Before we go any further, because I've been meaning to say this since you mentioned, I just want to say Charlie Sharples, not only great try and some good performance, he was wearing short cycling shorts.
Oh, well done,
Charlie.
This
is incredible. This is like, I was amazed when I saw this. He ran out. It's normally him and Johnny May. Long cycling shorts right the way down to the knee, spoiling us for seeing those wonderful quads that they spend all week working on. But no, he wore short cycling shorts, so long may that continue.
Good
take note, Johnny May.
No, he's getting disciplined as we speak.
I heard a story, I don't know if it's true, that Pat Lam sent out Tom Vondell on loan to Bedford because he didn't like people wearing white boots. I hope that's
hope
true.
That's true.
So when you said disciplining, maybe Sharple's off to, I don't know, Clifton or somewhere.
Love it. Burgess, I'm going to stick up for him, right? He's got a lot of
attention.
You
know what I'm going to say, yeah?
No. I'm not saying you're going to stick the knife in. Here's the way. When I watched that Bath Sale game, I never noticed a moment when I thought Burgess did anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was, and I'd say this, if rugby union suddenly had an attacking team and a defensive team like American football, Burgess would possibly be your team captain on defence. His defence is amazing.
It is. I think this might have been quietly his best game of union yet.
Apart from possibly the Wasps game where he scored when he was playing, the only game he was playing 12. But yeah, I agree. I thought he played really well.
He hit some hard lines, but found the Sale defence, the measure of him there. But that's, he didn't do anything wrong. But, so he retained the ball.
Sale's centres defensively
Very good.
Very good.
I think it's Leota who's just stopped in his tracks, just absolutely smashed.
Yeah.
Oh, by Burgess, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Burgess smashed and loads of people.
He's so solid. There again, there is a reason that I don't have a pet lion. And the reason I don't have a pet lion is because it's cruel to keep a natural predator caged up in my living room. It just doesn't make any sense. I think he did well, Burgess, but I think it's time that we free Burgess.
And put him in the second row?
No. We take him back to rugby league.
What?
Why not let him hunt? Let him loose.
Let him hunt as a six.
No, let's just take him back. Let's reintroduce him slowly. Do you think it's you've got a sportsman, right, who is one of the best ever at what he does. Literally one of the best products of British rugby league ever. And we've got him trotting around the wreck. It's not good enough. I think that we reintroduce him to league and we should start a campaign to do so.
I'm not getting on board with this.
Why?
Because I want to see him play six. I want to see him have an extended run, either six or the second row. And
you're wrong, Phil.
Start smashing people. Doing what he's good at, hard carrying and smashing people.
But it'd be
hard carrying, offloads.
But it'd be such good TV, can you imagine? Like, we want to reintroduce him to the world of Northern Rugby League, so we have a cage in the corner of, like, a rugby league change room, and they're all shouting at him, "You're diabolical! You're diabolical!"
No, you would have to...
reintroduce him slowly.
Put him under general anaesthetic. And he just wakes up, looks all confused.
I bet all the other league players would stop bullying him, because he's softened up.
Yeah, you'd have to, like you say, you have to do it slowly.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
One day a week, he has, like, pie and gravy.
No, I reckon...
Introduce him back to a whip.
No, I reckon it's during a match. You put him in the far corner of the pitch, and he comes round when the starting whistle goes. And whenever he feels ready, he'll sit there looking all confused for a bit. Whenever he feels ready to trot out onto the pitch, someone else subs off.
That's a great idea.
That's it.
And then you've got to tranquilise him at the end, and yeah, it's going to work. Yeah. I'm going to start making wristbands. Free Burgess.
London Irish went down to Quins. It was pretty regulation, that one, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Didn't we all pick London Irish to win it?
I didn't. I picked a narrow Quins.
I think I did say Quins. I didn't count on the fact that Easter would be back and Danny Kerr would be back, and those two look really good.
And you didn't back your brother? Scandalous.
Anything else from the Premiership, just to wrap it up?
Thomas the Tank scored another two tries.
Oh, another two. Do you know Exeter Chiefs, the actual Exeter Chiefs official Twitter account, now keep us, the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, up to date with Toot Toot Thomas Waldrum's tries?
So they should do.
They tweeted us to go, another try for Thomas Waldrum, just wanted to let you know. We could get that information from various websites, were listening to the game or whatever, but... No, I like the fact they're giving us... So thank you very much to Exeter Chiefs on Twitter for giving us that personal service. I guess that's just what happens when you are the number one rugby podcast on iTunes. And thank you for making us that. Thank you for the reviews. Thank you for downloading. Tell your mates. And we'll keep on making these podcasts and loving rugby as much as you do.
Do you want to just talk a little bit about the run-ins? Because Exeter Chiefs are on a bit of a high at the moment, aren't they? They broke into the top four.
Well, I tell you what. I think this is one for a future week as we get a little bit closer. But Phil, I know you've been looking at the run-ins that the clubs have got. Just briefly, who's got sort of more favourable or less favourable run-ins?
Bath and Sale probably have the best two run-ins. They both play clubs who... Pretty much entirely clubs who are out of the running. Bath play... Gloucester, Harlequins, London Irish, Newcastle, London Welsh, and Sale, it's the same in a different order. Gloucester, London Irish, Harlequins, Newcastle, and they play Exeter rather than London Welsh. So they've both got, they can pick up quite a lot of points in
and
that.
And Sale will be delighted that Wasps lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that keeps them in touch.
Yes, definitely. They're level with Bath on 51 points.
Yeah, they'll be absolutely stoked about that result. But so are we sort of saying that we expect Bath to finish second in the table?
Well,
home semi-final.
They've got five games there. They will be targeting that for 25 points. So they really could do it. Now, Exeter, who are currently in second place, they play Leicester, Northampton, Wasps, Saracens, Sale.
Wow.
All of whom are going for that top four. Mm-hmm. So that is a really, really difficult running. They've already got all their easy games out of the way. So
and they only have a two-point cushion.
I wonder if they say it differently, though, because I kind of think your playoffs start early and you're beating teams around you as well. So it's really in your hands.
Or you're losing to teams around you.
It
very much
depends on your attitude.
It is in their hands because they already have a two-point cushion ahead of Bath and Leicester. But
yeah, it's one of those tough ones for Exeter because if they miss out and just finish top six, then that...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Will be seen as a successful season, bearing in mind where people were predicting they might do, having struggled last year.
Yeah.
And with the breakthrough players they've got, they could go on from strength to strength. But having got so close and had such a strong season, it'll be disappointing to fade away. Saracens, you'd expect them to have the strength. What's their running like?
Medium. They play Harlequins and London Welsh, so should be wins there. But then they've got Leicester, Northampton, Exeter. So tough games. Now, they have got three home games compared to two away games.
Oh, wow. This is so good.
And one of the away games is London Welsh. So you'd back Saracen to get four wins out of that.
It is a seriously competitive league, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. And the weekend when the games are back on again, because the next weekend of Premiership Rugby is the 27th, 8th and 9th of March. I think I'm right in saying that we should be down at BT Sport on the Sunday as guests for that game.
I think so.
Excellent.
For the very reason that there's a big focus going to be on the running and who plays who, and we'll be put to work by BT Sport. So yeah, we'll get your thoughts a bit nearer the time for that one. But we've got a couple of weeks off of Premiership Rugby to think about that, and we're going to be talking about Six Nations. But before we get into the Six Nations, we came up with a little idea at JB's Mrs's party last night, in between playing horrifically middle-class drinking games.
Mm-hmm. dancing with your chocolate Labrador.
Oh, yeah. Your dog does not want to dance with me. So everyone was in the kitchen where all house party always end, and we were playing tunes, and JB's dog just likes to jump up with his legs and dance with people.
Yeah, he likes it.
Like some sort of performing seal, but he won't do it with me.
He likes the girls especially. He's getting a lot of attention from the girls.
Yeah. Ladies man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Taught him well.
But we thought of an idea, right? Just getting us back into talking about the Six Nations, picking a sevens team out of the Six Nations teams.
Out of Six Nations forwards, because it's too easy to do it without backs, isn't it?
I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's take the fixtures for the Six Nations this weekend, which we'll talk about in a bit more depth, and we'll try and pick a combined sevens team out of the two squads. So, England plays Scotland. We've got the England squad and we've got the Scotland squad. We've got to pick a combined sevens team.
Okay, can we just put one rule in place? I know you hate rules and laws, Jay.
Yeah.
We have to pick one forward for each one who's going to be right, like the cornerstone of the scrum. So one forward and then basically the rest can be backs.
Love it.
Okay.
And do we only go with players that are currently fit or assume everyone's fit?
Currently playing in the Six Nations,
I'd say. In the Six Nations.
Yeah, so Tuilagi, for example, is out.
So I would say, based on his recent form, we've got to find a place for Jonathan Joseph somewhere.
Damn right.
Definitely.
With that gas footwork.
Definitely.
I wouldn't be playing Goode. I would be playing Ford.
Ford would be his 10. What about, don't you reckon Finn Russell?
Russell.
He's a very, very exciting 10.
Yeah. Yeah, is he athletic though?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's deceptively athletic.
George Ford has got that similar kind of shape and skill set to a Ben Gollins or a Simon Amor kind of.
Early days Ben Gollins.
Early days.
Of the game.
Not Ben Gollins when he finished his career.
No. Is he still on the circuit, Ben Gollins? I'm sure like there's commentary and it's like he only retired 2 years ago or something ridiculous.
It probably was a lot more recently than you think it was.
So we're going Ford.
Ford and Joseph.
Ford and Joseph in the midfield. So we've got to have a...
No.
Scrum half. Who would be the scrum half? You wouldn't go Laidlaw. He's not.
No. I'd like to get Caring, but he's not been playing. Or even Joe Simpson would be ultra dangerous.
But he's not in the squad.
Yeah.
So we can't select him.
Yeah.
Hildal go.
Klein.
Dog Tanyon.
Yeah. Maybe. It probably would have to be Ben Youngs.
I quite like him, actually.
Doug doesn't Tanyon. Have to be a nine. Could be George
true.
Ford at nine.
George Ford with a Finn Russell at. You could do that.
Hey.
Decent.
Get them both in.
George Ford and Finn Russell, halfbacks.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
I would like to see...
Who's our flyer? Who's the flyer?
Watson, for me. Anthony Watson.
No Johnny May?
Oh, maybe Johnny May.
How about Vissa? Vissa's a big lad to stop on a sevens pitch.
Maybe he could be one of the props.
As is Maitland.
Maybe Vissa could be one of the props.
He's quite a big unit, isn't he?
Vissa's a very big unit.
So we'll put Vissa as a prop then.
Vissa as a prop.
And Johnny May or Anthony Watson, you have to pick now, Jay. Who would it be?
Anthony Watson.
Anthony Watson's in.
Watson.
Oh, that's a Bath axis there. Really? For Joseph Watson.
Yeah.
Vissa. So we've got to pick at least one forward out of our remaining two players in this combined England-Scotland Sevens team. It's quite good. Scotland, I think it highlights the fact already, Finn Russell and Vissa highlights the fact Scotland have got some exciting backs that they haven't had in years gone by, as we've been saying for many, many weeks.
Yeah, I'm a massive Russell fan. This is all right.
But you could have either Tommy Seymour or Mark Bennett in there as well, who are both very... we've completely overlooked Stuart Hogg.
Yes!
Oh, wow!
Whacking the Hogg father.
Hogg.
Would he be a halfback?
Hogg as hooker?
Hogg as 10 and Ford as 9?
Yeah,
That's it. Ford, Hogg, Joseph Watson. Oh,
Ford, Hogg, yes.
All gas. Like see, it. I think with all that gas and Vissa in the forwards, if I was picking the seventh team, I think I'd go with two forwards, potentially.
Okay.
Because I don't think you can just chuck wingers at prop and expect the same ball-winning skills.
Well, they don't really win any, do they? It's a weird game, sevens. It doesn't seem to...
So, who do you have?
Vinopolo.
I mean, potentially you could have... Potentially...
Vinopolo on a sevens field. More, just one of them.
For 1 minute, he would be incredible. After that 1 minute, he would be...
Not Maka, the other one.
Billy.
No, potentially, Burrell could be a prop as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Burrell. And then you could have Croft in there.
Oh, that's an interesting shout.
You could have... Tom Youngs could probably do quite a good job.
He would do a very good job. And he can play a bit.
Nah, he's too heavy to get around the park.
He is not... Yeah. Croft would be. I'd love to see Croft.
Right, should we go with Vissa, Croft and Burrell as our forwards?
No. Done.
Vissa, Croft, Burrell, Ford, Hogg, Joseph Watson.
Yes.
Our combined England-Scotland sevens team.
Like it.
And if we can glean anything from that, looking ahead to the England-Scotland game, I don't know what it is really, other than the fact that there are some exciting backs if they get the ball.
Yes.
This could be a really good game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think we'll start 12 for England? It's going to be Burrell, yeah?
Probably Burrell. Yeah, probably Burrell. Stick. Yeah.
I do hope that they do better than against Ireland.
Do you think England will learn their lesson from Ireland and play a smarter game plan, or do you think they'll persist with this sort of gung-ho attack?
Well, it wasn't... I'm not sure they were that gung-ho. I just don't think they were very good.
They were gung-ho a few times.
They were gung-ho in the wrong places.
Yeah, conceded some points because of it. But they can be more gung-ho against Scotland.
I know you guys think they played terribly and they played gung-ho against Ireland. I don't kind of see that. I just think they're a little bit incompetent rather than adventurous.
No, they were adventurous a few times in the wrong areas.
In the wrong area, yeah.
But also, one of the biggest weaknesses was their kicking. When Ireland kicked, it was of a height and a distance that allowed their chasers to get under it and put pressure on or compete for it. When England kicked, it just went straight to the back three, giving loads of time to either return it or kick it back. And there was no pressure put on Ireland at all.
But theoretically, if their back three is sitting so deep as indeed they were.
The Irish back three. Yeah.
The Irish back three. Why didn't they just attack those wide channels relentlessly?
Well, they did.
They tried to, but Ireland's defence is so good.
Was so good, they got
no
joy.
They're missing three players from that line, yeah?
Well, you say Ireland's defence is so good, or England's attacking core skills aren't good enough to do
it. That's it. So basically they're kind of a little bit incompetent. No.
As I said, I think New Zealand would exploit that.
I wonder if Wales can, or I wonder if Wales will go for these short intermediate kicks.
Let's talk about Wales Ireland after Italy France. So Scotland England. How do you kind of see it going? Do you think England will tighten up the screws where they did, and they'll play a forward dominated? They'll try and batter Scotland up front, won't they?
Forwards will give them a good platform. I think they've got a considerably stronger pack than Scotland, and their back should get some good quality front football and be able to utilise it. Put Jonathan Joseph in space.
Big Luth run in the hard line and then release Jonathan Joseph out wide.
And Watson.
I can't give any convincing argument as to why Scotland will win this.
Twickenham?
No chance. I can't.
Oh, I thought you were about to say, but I just have a feeling.
But I have said they'll win one game over the Six Nations, so it's either going to have to be this one...
Or Ireland.
And I don't know which one they're going to win.
Good luck.
They've missed their opportunities.
They've missed their chance.
They had all three of those games that they've played, they could have won. They were right in it on all three of them, and it's not gone their way.
I can't see how they'll do it, but I think they might be a bit more tricky than you give them credit for.
They'll be tricky, but England will have the right platform to unleash their backs.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. So, Italy-France. Let's pick a combined sevens team out of Italy and France.
Oh, I couldn't.
Forward, Parise.
Parise, get him in there.
Kelly Hamona prop.
But is there not a case for Dussatoir? His work rate and his ball winning skills.
Yes, there's 100%.
You could have both of them.
Yeah, throw them both.
Fantastic players, Dussatoir and Parise in the pack.
Yeah,
other prop,
not Bastereau, just because he's too unfit.
Scott Spedding,
too damn unfit.
He is massive.
Scott Spedding is massive, actually. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah,
Spedding as our other prop.
Spedding.
There is an argument for, like you say, Kelly Hamona.
Very strange choice.
Hamona, there's another song. Hamona,
Kelly Hamona. Sounds like an adult entertainer. She's one of the best in the business.
What was it? You came up with another chant for a different player, didn't you, Jay?
I did, but I can't remember.
What was it? See, this is what happens when we don't write stuff down when we're talking about the podcast at parties.
And we're having a few drinks as well.
Yeah.
It was a good one, though.
So, very good. Well done, Jay.
Thanks.
Well done on that one. We can't remember. We'll report back another time. Right, scrum half.
Para. Or Tielersbord. Tielersbord's a good all-round player.
I don't really have an opinion either way on those two for sevens.
Para. I almost think Para's one of those guys you'd almost chuck him at 10 and he'd just be the general.
Control everything.
In a Serevi fashion.
Yeah, you could do.
Isn't he the fourth highest paid rugby player in the world?
He's right up there. Yeah.
Is he that good?
Huge, huge contract. Because he's like a poster boy for French rugby and for Clermont.
But is he that good is a question.
But he sells a lot of shirts and women love him. Like your wife.
Indeed, she does love. Well, she wants to mother him, I think. Or then,
nurture him, feed him up a bit.
Yeah.
who'd be the flyers in this team?
Teddy Thomas?
Are we going to say that Tielersbord and Parra are our halfback combination?
Oh, I can't think of another one.
I would happily go with that.
Yeah.
You can do what you want.
Board and Parra. Yeah. Teddy Thomas?
Definitely Teddy Thomas.
Teddy Thomas.
With Fofana?
I'd have thought so.
Oh, it has to be Fofana.
Done. Easy.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So it's all French, except for Parise and Spedding.
He's South African, you're right.
All the France team, except for Parise.
Yes.
Does that hint at what is to come in Rome?
No, because they're brilliant individuals but can't play together as a team.
Yeah, they're a horrendous team. Horrendous.
I can see France losing this like they did a couple of years ago.
We say it every time. What are France playing at?
Six How Nations. Much attitude do you reckon there is in French training? Like, that no one can do. Do you reckon that Saint-André shows up and they're just smoking?
and shoving their face full of croissants.
Yeah. You want me to do what? Like, they just won't practice. They know everything. Loads of attitude.
Yeah. I can see that.
Wesley Fofana. There wasn't so long ago. It was like he was the best back in world rugby.
Yeah. Best 12 in the world.
Mm-hmm. Best 12 in the world. And you wouldn't say that now, on form?
No, not on form at all. But he's playing in a team that's doing nothing, not giving him any opportunities to do anything. So,
did you see Italy sneaking another win off the back of their Scotland
heroics? That'd be great if they could.
They, They really could. I just don't think they've quite got enough in the backs to do it. And their forwards could beat up the Scottish pack, so that gives them good platform.
That France pack's different. So I think we'll go that France will win, not by a massive amount.
Ugly game. Italy don't want to play rugby. France can't play rugby.
Correct.
And finally then, Wales, Ireland. Let's firstly pick a sevens team out of these bad boys.
George North.
George North.
George North at the prop.
Tommy Bow.
Do you go George North at prop?
No, I put him in the back somewhere.
Because you could go props, George North, no. and
Jamie Roberts.
You could go George North and Jamie Roberts or Robbie Henshaw.
Henshaw could play in the centre. Because you could have Jonathan Davis as your hooker.
Jonathan Davis, Sean O'Brien and a Tipperick
say Tipperick is the hooker.
A Tipperick, Jonathan Davis, Sean O'Brien. There's your front three.
Okay, so you have in...
George North would go...
But just throw him in the box. He's a world-class winger.
But where's Henshaw going to fit in?
Tommy Bow.
And where's Tommy Bow going to fit in? Because Tommy Bow is in this team, Jay.
Tommy Bow can play centre. You just need two halfbacks, no?
Tommy Bow is in this team.
Yeah.
I just said he was.
Tommy Bow and George North as your centre-winger.
Right. Centre-winger. And then you've got two more players to fit in, right?
I think Gas and Footwork and Reece Webb gets in at nine.
Definitely.
Well, here's an interesting one, because who goes at 10 in an Ireland-Wales sevens team? Because... arguably, Dan Biggar doesn't have the creativity and flair, which is kind of more to like Warren Gatland's pragmatic, functional, but effective brand of rugby. And Jonathan Sexton as well is amazing at game management and in a 15 setting. But equally, would he be the Serevi type that you might need in a game of sevens? I don't think he would.
Not the Serevi type, but he's got a deceptive turn of pace as Johnny Sexton. You don't think of...
A Madigan might be more interesting than both of them.
Yeah, Madigan might be. Or, if he was fit, Paddy Jackson, but unfortunately he's not. Madigan might be a good... Madigan and Webb as your halfbacks.
Yeah, I think they're probably better.
Yeah.
By the way, I think Dan Biggar is going to show his worth against Ireland. And I think... He's a young man with quite a lot of ego, apparently, and I think he's going to relish the chance to go one on one against who is the man who's considered the best in the Northern Hemisphere
and possibly the best 10 in the world at the moment.
Well, I think New Zealand probably got three that are better or up there with him.
I'd rate Sexton as the best 10 in the world at the moment.
I really would.
Yeah, well, you saw the England game when he went off. Yeah. That was when the momentum switched. Now, it might be that England made their changes and Ireland were getting tired, or it might have been that Sexton went off and the game management just wasn't as good.
So, this Wales-Ireland game match then, now Jay's a proud Welshman.
And Northwalian.
Northwalian, North Welshman. Do you think, when you look at Gatland, he's been wrongly criticised to the extent he has following one poor performance and defeat against England?
Are we talking about the criticism coming out of the Welsh press?
Well, yeah, mainly. They've been the most vocal and most number.
Yeah, Gatland's probably the best coach maybe in the world, definitely in the Northern Hemisphere. I mean, his CV is exceptional. He's gone from a smallish Irish club through to Ireland, won European Cups. He's taken a toxic Welsh team, and it really was toxic under the last administration, and he's turned them around to win two Grand Slams and a additional title. And he could win another one. And on top of that, he was a red card away and 1 point away from a World Cup final.
And so, British and Irish Lions away victory.
Yeah, that small issue. So... you can criticise Gatland, but the chances are, if you're criticising him, you know nowhere near as much as him, because he's a brilliant coach.
Yeah, I do think he got a few things wrong with his tactics in the England game.
Definitely.
You know my theory on that, yeah? They wanted to win by doing as little as possible so they don't give away their playbook. Anything. Yeah, I still believe that is the case.
You hope that is the case.
No, I really do believe it. I really do believe it. They're too good for that to be the game plan.
Wales have got... They can't play as badly as they did last time in the Millennium Stadium against England. They won't play that badly, but they're facing an Ireland team that...
Well, it depends. It depends if they're going to go for more techno music. I think they need to go more disco-y, not less.
Yeah. Yeah.
More disco-y, more like rave. 70s feel. Or
Yes!
Like the golden age of...
Disco.
The golden age of disco was the same time when it was the golden age... of Welsh rugby.
Correct.
So, like, we're in the Millennium Stadium, don't worry with this rave stuff and DJ Spoonie. You need proper 70s disco music.
It wasn't DJ Spoonie, was it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't.
It was Spoonie, yeah.
He does football, doesn't he?
No. We want the Welsh team coming out to this. Handlebar moustache, please, George North.
Yeah.
There we go. That would get you up for the game in the Millennium Stadium, wouldn't it?
Is there a Tom Jones cover of this somewhere? Some Tom Jones vocals.
I think Ireland will still win, even in the Millennium Stadium. Their defence is ridiculous.
And haven't Ireland beaten Wales like the last three times in the Six Nations?
They beat them badly last time. Yeah.
And in 2013 when Wales won, because it was the game, it was the first match of the tournament where they beat them comfortably.
Yes, that was the bad loss, the really bad loss.
Yeah. Mm. So,
you going for an Ireland win as well, Phil?
I am going for an Ireland win. I can't see anything else. I don't think any team at the moment can in the Six Nations can live with the way that Ireland are playing.
And Jay, our Welshman, you're on the spot now. No sitting on the fence here, Jay.
I do think the Welsh pack actually has a bit of an advantage over the Irish.
I thought that about the English pack, though.
Yeah. And I also think kicking to Johnny May is not the same as kicking to George North. Give me Wales.
Wow. We will see Six Nations Championship on just as we finish this. I'm going to keep this epic music going.
Let's get excited.
In our Titanic battle of made up sevens teams, who would win in out of the three? I'll give you the three sevens teams, just pick one winner. So Wales, Ireland, O'Brien, Tipperick, Davies, Webb, Madigan, North, Bow. England, Scotland, Visser, Croft, Burrell, Ford, Hogg, Joseph, Watson. Or Italy, France, Parise, Dussatoir, Spedding, Tillisbord, Parra, Fofana, Thomas.
I'd probably say the Scotland-England one.
I think the Scotland-England one.
I was going to say the Welsh one, but then, no.
Yeah, pure gas and
Hogg, Ford, Joseph, Watson.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Hogg alone is enough to make me think it'd be that team.
And that gives me an indication about what we're going to see this weekend. I think the most exciting game is going to be England-Scotland. I think Wales and Ireland will be exciting for the just attritional, muscular match it is. And I'm not that fussed about Italy-France.
But unless Italy win, then I'm really fussed.
Yeah true. Very true.
Right, so we don't have any Premiership to worry about. We've got Six Nations, like we say.
LV Cup? Any LV Cup?
Ladies and gentlemen, an institution in rugby, one of the greatest competitions ever, the LV Cup.
Yes!
LV Cup semi-finals. I would like you and Phil, the two of you, I'll sit back on this one, let you take centre stage, because I know we're all so excited.
Shall we break it down?
Shall we break it down? Here are our big highlights of what to look forward to for the LV Cup semi-finals this weekend. That's our highlights of the LV Cup semi-final this weekend.
So, just one thing exciting.
Who is in the semi-finals, by the way? Because I have no idea.
Saracens and Northampton.
And Leicester versus Exeter.
And Leicester-Exeter.
Exeter are going to win this whole thing.
Should be some, genuinely, should be some good games, good academy, to see the academy.
We're jesting, but it'll be good to see the depth of the squads of, four of the top five teams.
Harlequins was a phenomenal game when I watched it. Yeah. Really exciting.
The massive redeeming feature of the LV Cup this weekend is that the first semi-final, Saracens Northampton, fills that Super Rugby Six Nations void. So you can sit on your sofa, you watch Super Rugby early doors, then 12:30, boom, Saracens Northampton's on, taking you through to 2:30 Ireland Wales.
Nice.
Oh, do you know what's happening to me this weekend?
What?
I'm going to the opera or something like that. I'm going to the Royal Opera House on Friday. Which means I miss the Super League.
Just hold on a minute. This is the JB that a couple of weeks ago was giving major stick to one of your Broughton Park teammates for missing a rugby game to go to the cinema.
I'm not missing any games. It's a weekend off. Ah-ha-ha! How do you like those apples, Timothy?
All right, fine.
I'm more upset about missing the Super League on Friday. Nothing fills my heart with more warmth and joy than thinking I'm going to go home on a Friday, watch the Aviva, and then follow it up by the second half of the Super League. I love it.
Phil, you've prepared a little quiz.
I have.
Come on.
And a extra special treat, not just for you guys, but for our listeners who are using the fantastic Acast app.
Oh, that's right. I forgot for a moment that we were now available on Acast as well as iTunes.
Acast?
Acast, a brilliant app you can download to your smartphone. And then you can get visual things to go along with the podcast. So what have you got, Phil?
Right, I'm going to post this picture right about now.
Okay.
You two got it?
I do.
So, Tim, can you describe what we're looking at for those people who unfortunately do not have
access to it? We are looking at basketball vests of the New Zealand Super Rugby sides.
That is exactly what we're looking at. Now, there's 14 points, delicious 14 points available for this quiz.
Okay.
So the first question...
Oh, well, sorry, gents. Should we like a chocolate brownie while we're playing the quiz?
Great idea.
Some homemade chocolate brownie?
Yes, please.
Made by my wonderful, very friendly, not at all abusive girlfriend.
She is not abusive in any way.
They have sour cherries.
That's the one.
And some chopped Brazil nuts.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
So the first 5 points...
This isn't annoying, listening to someone eat while talking at all.
No.
It's just professionals.
So the first 5 points, I want you to tell me the region or the city of those five teams.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm sure of four, but I'm not sure of the fifth.
Okay, so the next part of the quiz is, you'll notice that each shirt has a number on it,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to tell me the All Blacks that play for that team who play in that position.
Oh,
so some of them, there are one, some of them there are two, and one of the teams has three All Blacks in that position. So starting off with the Chiefs.
Oh, I see.
The Chiefs.
Crikey.
Number 12. Who is the All Black that plays for the Chiefs? Who plays number 12?
Okay, so that is...
Okay. The Blues, number 6. They have two All Blacks who play number 6. The Highlanders is number 9. They have one All Black who plays number 9. The Crusaders, number 10. There's three...
What?
Three All Blacks who play for the Crusaders at number 10. As in three guys who have been capped by the All Blacks who are currently playing for the Crusaders. And finally, Hurricanes number 14, there's just one. So starting left to right as you're looking at it on the Acast app, Chiefs, what is their region?
Waikato.
They are indeed Waikato. I'll need to put
correct
put numbers here because...
1 point each. I'll mark you, Scott. 1 point each. The Blues.
Auckland.
Correct.
Excellent.
The Highlanders.
I wasn't sure about this one.
I put Otago
as well.
It is Otago.
Yes!
Get in.
Crusaders.
Canterbury
indeed.
Correct. And the Hurricanes.
Wellington.
5 out of 5.
Wow.
Very good. Okay, moving on.
Yes.
So, Chiefs number 12. This is the easiest one, I think.
Sonny Bill Williams
indeed.
6 all. Blues number 6, the two players.
Kano,
I have.
Kano, correct.
Now, I think he's a second row, but I know Patrick Tuipulotu is at Blues, but I think it's probably a second row.
He is. He's at Blues. I think he might have covered 6, but not properly. There is another full All Black who plays 6, who played there because Kano played 8 at the weekend. Did anyone see the Blues Lions game? Blues managed to lose.
I know who it is!
Go on.
You don't have it then, obviously. Do you have anything written down?
I was about to say it.
No, Jay doesn't have it.
Well, he hasn't written it down either.
Is Luatua a 6?
Luatua is a 6.
Damn it! I knew it was a name like that.
Yeah. No points there for either of you.
But, oh, no, 1 point each for Kano.
No points for Luatua. Blues managed to lose a game with 80% territory and 60% possession.
What?!
Through it, just couldn't score.
Wow.
Anyway, Highlanders number 9.
I didn't know this one. I just guessed TJ Perenara.
Jay?
I didn't have anyone.
Didn't have anyone. No point, Tim. It's Aaron Smith.
Is it? I thought it's Canterbury.
Crusaders.
Carter Cruden, we'll both have.
Yep.
Carter who?
No, Cruden plays for Wellington, doesn't he?
Cruden plays for the Chiefs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I've put Carter Cruden Slade.
So Carter...
Carter Slade and Barrett.
Oh, Barrett!
Is not correct.
Oh.
Barrett plays for the Hurricanes.
Yes, phew! Oh, you're letting me off the hook, Jay.
So two points each.
2 points each.
Carter Slade, yeah.
Yeah, so 2 points each.
So are we currently level?
You're currently level, 9 points all.
Oh, it's going to be a draw.
And I have got a tie break.
Oh, okay. We're going to need it because we know who number 14 is.
Okay.
Do we, Jay?
Have you got?
Tanu Umanga.
I got Jonah.
Julian Savare.
Incorrect. What? Has he only ever played number 11?
Julian Sveja plays 11. He might have played there once or twice, but his wing partner, who also plays for the Hurricane, is...
Who is it?
Corey Jean.
Oh!
So the tiebreaker is the Highlanders are the only team who have an international in these positions. The Highlanders, number 9, they have an international from another country who plays in that position, who plays number 9. What is the country? Okay. You both have it correct.
Oh! Tanaka.
Yeah, Fumaikai.
Should we just shake hands and call it a draw?
No! Yeah, well done.
Well played. Good quiz, good quiz. That's a great quiz, I enjoyed that. I can't take this tension.
Let me quickly think of another question. Okay, here's a good one. Here's a very good one. Jonathan Joseph, this is one I wrote down just when I'm writing down rugby union questions.
Obviously.
Jonathan Joseph won Aviva Premiership Player of the Month for January. How many tries did he score in the Premiership in January? Write down your answer, please. And I'll do closest will win it if neither of you gets it. Bob on.
I'm having an absolute... I can't even remember the games. I haven't got a clue. I'm just guessing.
Let's have a look. Tim says 4.
I say 5.
G says 5. We've got a winner then. No one's got it, Bob on. And so the closest person is Tim.
Jay can't win a quiz. Jay can't win a quiz.
I'll just follow this up to say that there are only 2 Premiership games played in January. Jonathan Joseph only played one of those games and he failed to score.
That's a backhanded compliment, that, isn't it? The player of the month for January.
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
What's going on there?
It's a bit of a weird one. The guy who wins it only plays one game. Anyway.
Oh, rugby was the winner.
Yes.
And me as well.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better way to round off a quiz. Unless you can think of another way... Sorry, a quiz? A podcast. Unless you can think of a better way to round off a podcast, Jay.
No, I'm good. I'm done.
Enjoy the rugby this weekend. Thank you very much. Keep keeping your ratings at iTunes going. Download the Acast app if you haven't already. And keep getting in touch at Rugby Podcast on Twitter if you've got an idea for a 15 we could pick or anything else for the podcast, or you want to react to anything that we've said, then at Rugby Podcast. And we will be tweeting there across the rugby weekend. And, well, cannot wait. Cannot wait. Jay, you all right? You still with us?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You all good, Phil?
Eating some more brownie.
All right. Right. As you can see, we've got other things to do. So we'll see you soon in a bit.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.